How are you?
Good afternoon. I'd like to call the 100th meeting of the New Jersey Bylaw Council. We hit the century. Annette, would you call the roll, please?
Kurt Alsted?
Here.
Tracy Carluccio?
Here.
Bill Cogger?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtaway?
Here.
Janice Kovacs?
Here.
Mimi Letts?
For the 97th time, here.
Paul Richko?
Here.
Ren Petrano? James Fizioli?
Here.
Jack Schreier?
Here. You join me in the pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have before us the minutes of approval of the November 19th Highlands Council meeting. Is there a motion on the minutes?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Have a second?
I'll let it request that you acknowledge the Open Public Meetings Act.
Oh, sorry.
I know you're on a row, and I do apologize for the 100th time.
Everyone else is on a donut. This meeting has been advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. That's sufficient? And now.
Who seconded? I didn't see who seconded.
Who seconded the minutes?
Janice. Councilmember Alsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Thank you. Before we get to the approval of the Highlands Credit Bank, I'd like to ask Eileen to just give us a brief slideshow.
Okay. Yes, we just wanted to, as you are aware, it is the duty of the Highlands Council to approve the meetings, the minutes of the HTC Bank Board, and then they go down to the Governor's Office, along with the minutes of this meeting, for the Governor's review period. So, just to give you an update on what happened at the Highlands Development Credit Bank, the round two of the bank purchase program has just finished, and the Highlands Development Credit Bank took action at the meeting. Under round two, there were four properties that qualified, so you see that here. Round one had five, of which two have closed, one sale is still pending. In one case, Morris County purchased the land, that was the fourth property, and the fifth property owner did not accept the offer. On round two, where the decision was made at the HDC Bank Board to authorize the staff to make offers to the landowners who qualified, four landowners, the number of HDCs, Highlands Development Credits, 53.25 credits, the number of acres of those parcels of land involved, 82.37 acres, for a total purchase amount of $852,000. The remaining HDC allocations are shown here, but the action taken was on those four properties. Further, the bank board authorized the staff to expand upon the program such that there will be a third round and an expansion of those of the potential applicants for that program. Any parcel that received or should have qualified for exemption number three, but the exemption required, expired. So in other words, if somebody did get exemption number three, but their permits expired, so it's no longer they're no longer eligible under exemption number three, that they would be eligible for the program. We did have a candidate in that particular situation. When that was explained to the bank board, they determined it appropriate to expand the program to include them. Also, one that would have qualified but didn't apply for the exemption would also be considered in the expanded program. Further, the bank board determined that any parcel that was located within either your special environmental zone, and if you recall, that was a mandate of the Highlands Act that there would be an area where no development shall occur, and you determined some 19,000 acres within the Highlands Preservation Area fell into that region. So any parcel that's located within the special environmental zone or high-value agricultural priority owner, high agricultural priority area, when the owner of that parcel applied for participation in a preservation program administered by the state or a local government unit, no earlier than August 10th of 2004, and which application was rejected by the appropriate public agency or was deemed ineligible for participation based upon the requisite program's eligibility criteria. If the parcel is located in the special environmental zone, the property owner must forego any remaining development opportunities. In other words, no exemption would be exercised there. And that is, again, because of the nature of the special environmental zone, and it was the desire of the bank board that this be the program expanded to include them, but not with any exemption retained. Where the parcel of land is located within the high-value agricultural priority area, a majority of the parcel's existing agricultural lands must have both high and moderate agricultural value. So that's the expansion of the program. Basically, that I wanted to give you this and to say again in front of the public to give you an idea of what did happen at that meeting. I did send the minutes to you. In order for us to proceed with that, we have to have the minutes approved and have gone through the governor's review period. The timing on the expansion of the program is currently on the slide in front of you here. The HTC allocation applications are due to the Highlands Council by February 24th of next year. The certificate applications are due to the Highlands Development Credit Bank by March, and the bank would consider those third round applications at their April meeting. They did set forth their schedule for four meetings for next year at that meeting last week. That's it, thank you.
I'm just going to comment before we vote, particularly we'll go on the vote, that during that meeting, it dawned on me that what Eileen had just described really can be brought down to a couple of phrases. The Highlands Development Credit Bank, like the Highlands Council, goes out of its way whenever it's within the law to do so, to make things easier for property owners, to make things possible for property owners. And that's what she just described here. Looking for exemptions that just missed the deadline, but are now eligible to be included, and I think that's an important consideration for this debate. Having said that, our motion on the Highlands Development Credit Bank minutes.
I move that.
Okay.
Can I
ask a quick clarifying question?
Yes.
In the minutes, Eileen, page 3 at the bottom, where reference to property B, just to be clear, when Director Kraft asked about the exemptions, she was referring to that piece of property prior to participating in the Highlands Development Credit Program, correct? So that property, as is right now, is eligible for exemption 1 and 2, but if they choose to accept the offer being made by the bank board, then they would no longer have those exemptions available, correct?
Yes, there was. That second lot was a vacant lot, so they would have an exemption. They weren't going to exercise the exemption, and they would get a bonus credit for not exercising the exemption. On the other piece of property in question, because there were two lots, that was actually already a residence.
And how would you characterize these properties? Are they, the acreages certainly seem much smaller than the first round. So are these just small lots, a building lot per se, and these people just got caught in bad circumstances, and this is helping them climb out of it, or is there a general characterization?
I can't give you a general characterization. I'll tell you one was commercial, which is different to anything else we had done before, but was eligible to enter into the program. Another actually has a driving range on it at the moment. The owner of that particular property was going to return the property if they accept the offer to agricultural use. There were four properties in all. That would have been the only one, the one where the driving range would no longer be used, which would be under an agricultural conservation, agricultural restriction. The other three were going under a conservation restriction, one of those being a commercial property. And yes, they're smaller than, there was one large property in the first round. But altogether, they're 80-something acres.
And when you say commercial property, this is a commercially
zoned
piece of property? Actually,
commercially zoned. It is a residential property in a commercially zoned area.
And by entering, they're foregoing any potential to develop that property for commercial use, and they can only maintain the residence that's on it and everything else?
That is correct, and the owner is well aware of that fact.
Thank you.
I have a question. The folks who are selected, you have to consider successful. How do they go about getting their money for whatever their number of credits are?
We will, first of all, they've worked very closely with the office, in particular with Jeff Lajaga, who administers the program. And so they work very closely with him. And every step of the way, they're aware of the next steps. They're aware of the potential, they're aware of the actions of the bank board. We've already sent them letters because there's a certain amount of, let's just say, anxiety on their part waiting for an action now from the staff. So we have to make sure that they understand that there's a process here, that the minutes go before you, that they've got to go through the governor's review period before any of those actions become something we can act upon. So they're aware of that. Then. That letter has already been sent. We then will send them an offer letter which sets forth the steps they have to go through to relinquish the and sell to the bank board the credits and get their the cash. They have to file a deed, but we take them through every step of that and are with them. There's also, under the hardship criteria, there is an allowance of up to $2,500 for each of the hardship cases for closing costs. But we do handhold the whole way through this process.
So this is kind of a significant period of time from when they get approved until
they... It wasn't quite so significant on one of the properties in the case of round one, because the property had, the owner had a pressing need to come to conclusion, and so we worked to make sure it would happen in such a way that the owner's objectives were met. I'm trying to word this very carefully because the situation for these owners is confidential. So I'm trying to remember that as I'm speaking.
Another question, just quickly, and if you covered this, I apologize, but I don't think we have. We had the 20 initial applicants. We did the five initial approvals that were, I'll call them, ultra hardship. We expanded a little bit, and we had the next four that were hardship, but not quite as bad. We're expanding again. Will there be a time that new applications will be considered? What if there's a new hardship application that hasn't been received yet? Is it an open enrollment?
Absolutely, it's an open enrollment. I wouldn't characterize the last four as being less of a hardship because some of those were new.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Well, that's what I want to clarify. So
yes.
The numbers are constantly in flux depending upon new applications.
Correct. It's open. In fact, anybody can seek an allocation. But at the moment, the bank is only considering purchasing credits from those that are eligible under round two, which is now expanded for round three. And what the bank board of directors has suggested is that what they're trying to do is keep opening the gate a little wider so that they can capture more, cognizant of the fact that there's a set amount of dollars available, the initial $10 million capitalization.
Thanks.
Okay. Get a vote on the minutes.
And there's two sets of minutes. There's an executive session. I believe you can act on both at once.
Okay.
But just so everybody's very clear, you're approving both sets of minutes.
One motion for both sets of minutes.
Correct. I think everybody's satisfied.
It's been made and seconded.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Coluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Hovind?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Fazoli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is the acting chairman's report. Excuse me.
Shouldn't there have been a public comment for the vote?
Vote on the minutes? No.
No.
Thank you for being here. I am going to make a report. I have a report that's going to take just a little bit of time, more than usual. But before I do that, I'd like to read a portion of a message that I received from John Weingart. John Weingart was our first chairman, you remember. Actually, our only chairman, not the acting chairman. I called John Weingart and left a message for him at home and invited him to come to this meeting because of its momentous nature. And he replied that he appreciated the call but would not be able to attend. He says, I had not realized this was the 6-year anniversary of that dramatic first meeting with a packed room, lots of reporters and TV cameras, and a very long executive session. In some ways, it's hard to believe so much time has gone by, and in others, it's hard to remember that there ever was a time when we didn't all know each other. It adds a little perspective to recall that on that day, 6 years ago, John says, Barack Obama was still a state senator in Illinois. Anyway, it's a fitting anniversary marker today for you all to be considering adding 4 more towns and a county to the list of those in conformance. And it's good news that local governments in the Highlands seem to be concluding that the regional master plan is a pretty good and useful template, and that the council is a much better group to work with than they may have feared in the beginning. He said, I wish you all and other members, all the other members of staff, a good holiday, and I hope our paths continue to cross in the new year. It's John Weingart. So, my comments now. This is a happy anniversary to all of us. It was exactly 6 years ago on this date that the first council meeting of the new Highlands, New Jersey, Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council was held. Council members Mimi Letts, Kurt Alstead, Janice Kovach, Tracy Carluccio, and I were there. Am I missing anybody? Glenn Cardano? Yeah.
Glenn was there.
The meeting was conducted by John Weingart. John had been involved in state government before, but I'm quite sure that nothing he had experienced previously prepared him for what was to unfold from the first bang of his antique gavel. John used to bring to early meetings a different implement to use as a gavel, and he picked them up at antique sales, God knows where else, demolished barns. John introduced a proposal to establish several subcommittees of the council at that meeting, an idea he said had worked well for bodies as large as ours with so much on our agenda, and he recommended that those committee meetings meet privately and deliver their recommendations in public. First shot had been fired. Kurt remembers this vividly. Several members, including Kurt and me, strongly urged against it, not against the idea of committees, but against having those meetings out of public view. At our next meeting, we voted on private versus public, and as you all know, public won. It was an issue that set the model for what this council has been for all of that time. One of the most transparent, open, publicly visible, and interactive agencies in our state. In fact, we are famous, or notorious, for allowing the level of public comment that we do. The devastating negative value impact of the Highlands Act on landowners has been and continues to be public enemy number one. And here is where those landowners come to let the council hear in clear often passionate terms what they think of that and what they think should be done about it. This council has always upheld a commitment to fund the preservation of exceptional resource lands in the Highlands. At our March 2005 meeting held in Parsippany, that was then.
Yes, indeed.
We approved my ad hoc motion to let the users of Highland Water pay a user fee, with at least a portion of it going toward the compensation for affected landowners. Indeed, the Highlands Act itself supports such a fee, along with the now extended dual appraisal methodology, the expansion of TDR beyond Highlands boundaries, and dedication of Garden State Preservation Trust funds for the region. The council has testified on behalf of all of these approaches, so it's not for want of trying. Indeed, the Highlands, I said that also, we are also sensitive to the desires and benefits of commercial enterprises. Even in the preservation area, the council has approved plans for redevelopment, proposals that encourage businesses to stay in New Jersey and grow in New Jersey. We approved a new town center and are working with towns to create others. But not willy-nilly. We like development that is based on capacity in the right locations to ensure that sprawl is discouraged and vibrant economic centers can flourish even in a village setting. So here we are, 6 years later. I believe we have achieved much with a very minimal staff and a shrinking budget. But even before he was elected and enunciated it, we did it according to the principles now set forth by Governor Christie, using common sense within the law, cost-benefit analyses, and most important, openness and transparency. We remember and applaud all who worked to get us to this point. The Highlands Task Force, Eileen and I served on that. John Weingart, previously mentioned. Former members Lois Cuccinello from Bourbon County, Michael Salavara from Somerset, Ben Spinelli, Chester Township, Tim Dillingham, Tahisha Way, Liz Calabrese, Eric Peterson, and Scott Whitenack. Eileen and me, of course, I said that. Say it again. And Tracy Carluccio. We couldn't do it without Tracy Carluccio. All of us share in the credit for the accomplishments that we now enjoy. And so do all of you, council members. Know that your council is serving the state very well. Our actions are aimed at the future, so that clean water will continue to allow people to live and businesses to grow, and so the New Jersey Highlands will continue to be a precious, valuable, and beautiful place. That's my report. Thank you.
Well done.
Executive Director's report.
Thank you.
Make it brief.
Yes, sir. Very briefly, I just want to go over the status of plan conformance. At this point, we have 64 petitions that have been submitted, 59 from municipalities and 5 from counties. Of these, 49 have been deemed administratively complete and posted to the Highlands Council website, including 2 counties. Of these, petitions have been approved, 4 of them, Byram and Chester Townships, Lebanon and Hampton Boroughs. On today's meeting agenda, you have 5 petitions pending, Bethlehem and Marwa Townships, Califon and Glengarden Boroughs, and Passaic County. And just to give you a preview of what's to come, anticipated for our January meeting, we have 5, Clinton Town, Mount Olive, Highbridge, Green, and Glenville. Rockaway Township is scheduled for Friday, for February, but already posted to allow for an extended public comment period. Municipal response period underway for 4 towns, Tewksbury, Franklin, Lopatcong, and Washington Township in Morris County. 21 more draft consistency reports have been prepared and are under internal review. Another 9 are in development by staff. You all know that this is an extremely complex matter with the different modules for each town. We consider a lot of different approaches from different towns to plan for unique circumstances in those particular towns. And so there's an awful lot of work between the Highlands Council staff and the municipalities, the counties, and the consultants and professional staff working for the counties and municipalities. I do want to, particularly at this meeting, thank the staff, the Highlands Council staff, because they were challenged for this meeting. They were challenged to end the year very strong. And I felt the tension in the building for the last few weeks, because it's not just getting ready for this December meeting, but it's getting ready for the January meeting, and it's getting all of those rest of those reviews done at the same time as we have project applications lying right behind. And so I want to say thanks to the staff who have worked weekends and nights, and to just make sure that we could get where we are today and have, I think, a truly great 100th meeting and 6th-year celebration. Here's a map showing you, again, you can see preservation area where we have our petitions and the planning area. Also, an ordinance here for Highbridge. The blue showing you towns that have been approved by the council. Here you see two more still under governor's review period, which actually ends today. And then the ones that you are considering today that will add to this map, again, they will go through the governor's review period. Looking at the grants program, we constantly monitor this for you and report out on the performance of the grants program. You are aware that you approved a $7.5 million grant program for plan conformance because, as the Act says, the council is responsible for the reasonable costs associated with plan conformance. That initial plan conformance grant was to get towns through the point of an approved petition. And here you see the performance. The base amount approved for towns was $50,000, allowing for the fact that there are many unique circumstances affecting different towns. You gave the staff authority to go up to $100,000 for any particular municipality. Here you see on this slide the various modules and the base amount for each one. You see the average paid out to date and the number of towns. So for module one, a base amount of 15,000, 68 towns have submitted an average amount of 13,000. I won't go through all of them, but if you cut straight to the total, you can see that the average to date spent by towns is around 52,000. Now, of course, it differs. Some are well under the amount, some are close to 100,000 or at 100,000, because it depends on the unique circumstances affecting that municipality. But again, the program is working well, and I can't say enough about the partnership we've achieved with the towns and their incredible professionals. And that brings us to the first resolution before you today.
The first resolution is a petition for plan conformance submitted by Bethlehem Township under the county. Is there a representative from Bethlehem Township here today?
Deputy Mayor John Grafe is here, and the planning professionals from Clark, Caton, and Hintz, Lisa Speck, and Carla Hintz. I think Mr. Coven is on the planning board? Yes. Each of the council members has a manila folder, and we've separated them out so that as the resolution comes up, you don't have to have shuffling all the papers.
Well, let's have a motion and a second on the resolution before we...
I so move.
Second.
Is there any comment from the council at this point?
Would you like me to present the municipal progress to you?
That's a good
idea. I'd be glad to do that. And then, as is your protocol, acting chair, the deputy mayor would be aware that he'd be invited to speak at the end of the presentation, so that he may speak to Bethlehem's desires in this. Okay, wonderful. What we want to do, as is the protocol here at the council, is to give you a sort of a picture, a very quick picture of Bethlehem Township, introducing you to it. As you've seen in the past, the municipalities we deal with are very unique. Each one has its own character. And so you've got some photographs here of Bethlehem Township. We do send staff member Nathan out in the field. He's taking photos here today. I think the part of the job he enjoys most goes out, and he certainly gets to know the character of these communities. A little look at Bethlehem Township. It was established in 1798, and according to the 2010 census data, has a population of 3,993, land area of approximately 20 square miles. Here you can see agricultural lands, over 3,000 acres, preserved lands. They've done an incredible job of preservation. They're really leaders in this area, 4,371 acres of preserved lands. They have 695 acres of wetlands and a total forest area of 7,452 acres. This is a look back in time. You see Bethlehem Township in 1930. And here you can see the agricultural lands, and here you can see more of the forested lands and roadways of that time period. And if you look carefully, you'll notice that there are certain reservoirs that will suddenly appear by 2007. And you see the roadways that have grown and interspersed and the communities that have grown up around those roadways. But you still see agricultural lands here and the forested lands here. Significant highland statistics. Of the of Bethlehem Township, the municipality is split between preservation area and planning area. Approximately 91% is in the preservation area and approximately 9% in the planning area. The land use capability zone mapping, and today you'll see the maps that we're studying are on the wall over here, with Bethlehem there over Mayor Connor. The land use capability zone divides the region into three primary zones, and in the case of Bethlehem Township, the existing community zone, where we see that established footprint of development, and we look at it in terms of infrastructure and also in terms of impervious surface, only about 0.8% of the municipality. Protection zone, those highest resource lands where you've got, for example, forested lands as an example of an indicator, 65% of Bethlehem Township. Conservation zone, which are primarily your agricultural open lands, 30%, about 4,000 acres. Highlands open water protection area, about 29% of the municipality. That takes into consideration, of course, the buffers. And forest resource area, about 80% of the municipality. Agricultural priority areas, about 2,440 acres, or 18% of the community, and conservation priority acres, about 2,600 acres, or 20%. Here you can see land use against some statistics. Roughly developed lands, you'll see about 42% of the municipality, and natural lands then would be the other 57.5%. Now to take a closer look at Bethlehem, we're going to do a flyover so that you can get a good idea of the municipality. And you'll see the area shown in the green, the darker green, is preservation area. So entering here, you can see some open lands here with some residential development and heavily forested land over here. And this planning area, you will be coming up this side where again you see here the agricultural lands, those open lands, again forested lands here. This is the planning area of the municipality, that 9%. Jumptown Mountain Preserve here. So you get a good look at the type of municipality Bethlehem is, and I think those forested lands give you a great idea of why this municipality has spent a lot of time and investment and planning in terms of preservation. Here you see again more development, the elementary schools in this area. You see the Charlestown Reserve. You see Bog Meadows there, and I believe that's where the Quaking Meadows are. Those protected area, apparently when you walk over it, the land quivers. It's the peculiarity of those types of meadows. It's amazing the things one learns as one studies these different municipalities and works with the professionals. again, you see developed areas within some of those forested areas and in those open fields. The municipal building there, you see 78 and Route 173. Jersey barriers were first developed for the Jugtown Mountain Preserve. Something else that's a first in Bethlehem Township as well. So that's a look at Bethlehem Township. Now we're going to look at some of the land use ordinance maps. These are the regulatory maps, and again, these are the ones that are on the wall over here. This first map shows you the land use capability zone areas that I spoke of earlier. Here you see that conservation zone mapping for the agricultural open lands. Here is the protection area for those forested lands. It's really a capturing of the existing resources on the land. This one shows you forest resource area. It's a density mapping where forest is present. It's most critical. We're showing you some of the maps. They're all on the wall over there. Here you see lakes and ponds, streams and wetlands, and we have the 14 watershed values, moderate and high values. This map shows you the steep slope areas in Bethlehem Township. And this one shows you prime ground recharge areas, carbonate rock areas, and wellhead protection areas. All of this mapping, of course, important for regulatory purposes in the municipality. And here you see conservation priority areas, which were a requirement of the Highlands Act. And you see preserved lands, shown here in the green, and moderate and high value lands, high here and moderate for preservation. Likewise, you see here for agricultural priority areas, high priority here, and moderate, and again, those preserved lands. And now a look back at their petition for plan conformance and the timing with the Highlands Council. I do want to ask Jim Hutzelman. Jim is the from the Highlands Council. He has been he's our water resource engineer, but he was the liaison from Highlands Council staff that worked on this petition. As you know, we have one person on staff who really takes care of everything, working with the team as a whole from the Highlands Council, but interacting with each of these municipalities and their professionals. The timing of this was that the petition for plan conformance was submitted as per the Highlands Act requirements back in December of 2009. It was deemed administratively complete in March of 2010, and the petition was posted to the Highlands Council website in March also. Generally speaking, we do it within 10 days of the of deeming them administratively complete, again, so that the public can follow this very transparent process. In July of 2010, the draft consistency report was sent to the municipality, and the final draft report was posted to the Highlands Council website in November. The end of the public comment period, which started November 17th, ended December 3rd, and the final report was posted to the Highlands Council website on December 10th, and that brings us to consideration at your public hearing today of their resolution for plan conformance. As I go through all of these different petitions for you today, I'm going to go very fast through the modules. The PowerPoint is posted on our website, so it becomes a record of today's events. But the only time I would really stop would be to point out something of unique importance. But in the case of all, they are consistent with all the modules. The first module being the build-out, and Bethlehem was consistent. Those are modules 1 and 2. Module 3 is their housing plan. In this case, I do want to say that the Highlands Council worked very closely with Bethlehem, and with, in particular with Mayor Wraith, Deputy Mayor at the moment, on an ARC project they had, where they had significant difficulty working with the Department of Environmental Protection, and we were very pleased to work with them on a very worthwhile project, which took a torturous period of time, I know certainly from your perspective, John. But we were very pleased to work, and it's part of the role we play working with municipalities to assist them. Module 4, the environmental resource inventory, they were consistent. Module 5, master plan element, again consistent. Module 6, the Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance, again consistent, and Module 7, their municipal petition for plan conformance. Their resolution is both for preservation area and for planning area, all complete and all consistent. In terms of the public comment period, I'd already told you, was from November 17th to December 3rd. Comments were received from Bethlehem Township, from Helen Heinrich on behalf of New Jersey Farm Bureau, and Kevin Walsh from the Fair Share Housing Center. Our responses to the comments are posted, and we have given you those comments as well in your packets. We want to just go through summarizing them very briefly. Please be aware that the ones from Helen were repeated throughout the pertinent municipalities with agricultural lands, so the answers for one and all would be the same. In the case of Bethlehem Township's own comments, they requested some changes to the Highlands Land Use Ordinance regarding wastewater and water supply utility extensions. As they pointed out, the township has no existing community zone within the planning area. They also suggested changes to the allocation of funds for non-mandatory planning activities to support plans for agricultural retention and viability, which was something that the Highlands Council staff had worked with them on as well to suggest this. And they've done a great job of preservation, but we wanted to have that opportunity to work with them and also bring in the Department of Agriculture. So we talked about this with Monique Purcell as well. A great opportunity to talk about retaining agriculture as a viable industry in the municipality, as well as that ongoing work of preservation. Green building and sustainability element of the master plan is something Bethlehem are very interested in working on, and their scenic resource management plan. In both cases, the response of the Highlands Council staff was acceptance of these requests and changes, appropriate changes were made. A number of detailed comments were submitted by the New Jersey Farm Bureau, in particular on the Highlands Land Use Ordinance in regards to farming, agriculture and forest management. Again, we did provide detailed responses. What is most critical to say, and I think it's good to say this in public and with municipalities here as well, that the Highlands Land Use Ordinance applies only to regulated developments in the agricultural resource area, forest resource area, riparian area, and critical habitat. Importantly, all provisions are limited by the exemption for forestry practices under a woodland management plan and the exclusion for agriculture. And that exclusion states, unless specifically indicated otherwise, and in that case only to the specific extent indicated, the provisions of this ordinance shall not apply to agricultural or horticultural use and development. So it's critical that we know those specific times where they do apply is generally speaking to that additional impervious surface where certain plans are required. An approved woodland management plan provides an exemption for all forestry activities under the plan. Other reports and plans regarding forest impacts only apply to regulated developments, not exempt activities. So we want to be very clear on that. Also, the question arose about the definition of family member in the Highlands Act as it applies to farm ownership. Now, this is something I know very dear to your heart, Kurt, and you brought this up with us before. And well, we at this point in time, we have to tell you that we have not got the authority to modify any of those definitions. The definition is in the Act and cannot be modified through the plan conformance process. We do, however, continue to work on those issues with the Department of Environmental Protection and Division of Law. Funding priority for agricultural retention plans will be given generally to municipalities with a large land area in active agriculture. The Farm Bureau had questioned that priority and had mentioned all municipalities that are going before us today. And it would be, in our case, given that there's limited funding and different priorities for different municipalities, in the case of a municipality like Bethlehem with significant agricultural lands, it really makes a lot of sense. Others of the municipalities that you'll see today do not have that kind of those kind of agricultural lands in their municipalities. A letter was filed with COA by Fair Share Housing Center objecting to the use of the Highlands Council build-out results. You've seen this same comment at previous petitions. They object to the use of the build-out to adjust the fair share obligation for all of the four municipalities before you today. Again, we responded in detail. These comments specifically relate to matters that are pending before the appellate division in litigation filed by Fair Share Housing. All four petitions should be approved, conditioned upon achieving and retaining compliance with the Fair Housing Act. We all understand that the issue regarding fair housing and COA is in great flux at the moment. The Regional Master Plan mandates compliance with the Fair Housing Act. So as things shift and things change, Council will continue to work with municipalities to make sure that they are in compliance with that act. We also want to clarify once again, the build-out report is based upon the Highlands Act mandates and the Regional Master Plan requirements was done by the Highlands Council and then the information verified by the municipalities for accuracy. Again, in terms of getting now to the resolution before you. The staff recommendation on the resolution is to approve with conditions. We'll go over the proposed conditions. Adoption of the ordinance petitioning for a planning area, which is required by the Act. Completion and adoption of the ERI, Master Plan Highlands Element, Highlands Land Use Ordinance, updated zoning map, adoption of the wastewater management plan, which would be their chapter of the county plan, compliance with the Fair Housing Act and Supreme Court, Superior Court proceedings. Highlands Council shall be copied on all related correspondence and kept apprised of the court approval process, which is something that Bethlehem is going through. Any subsequent revisions to the housing element and fair share plan shall be provided to the Highlands Council for review and approval prior to implementation by the municipality. As you are aware, we examined those plans to make sure that they're consistent with the Regional Master Plan. Update and or development and implementation of Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, Stormwater Management Plan, updates only in this case, Habitat Conservation Management Plan, Land Preservation and Stewardship Program, Septic System Management and Maintenance Plan, Alternative Energy Generating Facilities Plan and Ordinance, and Scenic Resource Management Plan. And that brings us now, Acting Chair, to Council deliberation.
I invited the members of the municipality to come and speak to us on this resolution. This is a good time if you're interested. Anyone?
Well, first and foremost, I would really like to thank Eileen.
Could you just come up to the mic?
Oh, okay, sorry.
And identify yourself for the record. Okay. You're familiar with that.
John Grave, Deputy Mayor of Bethlehem Township.
Thank you.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank Tom and Eileen and their staff for making the experience of all the hard work we did more positive and being very supportive throughout the process. It's been, you know, I really enjoyed working with them, and I know it's a proud moment for Bethlehem Township to, as far from my perspective anyway, to hopefully get approval for our petition. I would also like to thank and recognize several other people that are here today that were that I was involved with when I first actually became aware of the Highlands Act. I moved to Bethlehem in 1999 and really loved the area. And I first served on the planning board in the township and then the Environmental Commission. And it was during my tenure on the Environmental Commission that I really became aware of the Highlands Act and what the principles were. And I was immediately able to identify with the goals of the Highlands Act, which is primary water preservation and land preservation, environmental preservation. Being an avid outdoors person, basically all my life, hiking, backpacking, and mountain climbing, I could identify with these goals very quickly and was very supportive of it. But there's several people here that helped educate me about the Highlands Act, as I was relatively new to the ideas and so forth. And that's Joyce Koch and Tom Coven and Sandy McConnell who were back there. All were on the Environmental Commission when I first was on it. I'd like to also thank Clark Caton Hintz and specifically Lisa Speca for doing all the hard work to complete the petition, all the modules and so forth. Obviously, without them, I don't know if it would have ever gotten done. But thank you very much. As far as my role in this, I was elected to the Township Committee in 2006 and began serving in 2007. I was mayor for 2008 and 2009, and as noted, deputy mayor now. I'd like to pat myself on the back, saying that I really feel I took an active role in shepherding this through both the planning board, which I was the liaison from the Township Committee, have been for my four years on the Township Committee, and in the Township Committee itself. And, you know, I really feel quite strongly that it was an important thing for Bethlehem Township to do, especially given the agrarian nature of the township and basically how majority of the people in a township like the rural character and wanted to keep it that way. And so I think it was a very worthwhile cause. And I thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I will open this motion to the public. If anyone from the public wants to speak, and I think Mr. Shope, you had your hand up. Do you want to speak on this issue?
I'll speak at the end of the
okay. group. All right. I just want to give you the opportunity. Anyone else from the public? Seeing no. Yes.
Good evening. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm with the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, here to enthusiastically support this petition. The Township Environmental Commission has been a valuable tool of land use control and planning for many years. And once again, you can see the importance of citizen involvement coming forward when challenged with a new idea of planning. I'm also very interested to see that there's an inclusion for an alternative energy plan in the particular case of large solar farms. We're seeing this all over New Jersey, thousands of acres of prime farmland being proposed for large solar facilities. Just for the council's information and for staff's information, Kingwood Township just recently passed an ordinance regulating large solar facilities that you may want to look at. I wouldn't recommend it for a more developed community, but certainly for a more rural town, it looks like a good workable ordinance. So all in all, ANJAC's very supportive of the Bethlehem Township petition and urges you to vote yes early and often. Thank you.
Say no one else from the public at this point. Sorry. I keep saying no, and you keep raising your hands.
We're just contrary.
Hi, Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I would also just like to enthusiastically support the Bethlehem Township petition. A number of people who the deputy mayor mentioned are folks who actually fought for and supported the Highlands Act to begin with. And I think this approval of this petition will certainly be a wonderful reward for them for their work for many years. Thank you.
I'm reluctant to ask if there's anyone else.
It's too long an evening. Keep going.
And this is points. Make sure everybody is heard from. Thank you. In that event, I think we'll have a roll call on the petition for.
Can I just ask a question first? Mr. Pfeiffer had mentioned it, and I just want to clarify about the suggestion or whatever, our commitment to share with Bethlehem on creating or whatever alternate energy facilities. Just what will our involvement be in that?
Basically be in a supportive role to the municipality using plan performance grants. What we do is when the municipality comes in with some plan that they want to work on, we make sure if it's consistent with the goals and purposes of the Highlands Act, then it's something that is a plan performance activity. So our role really will be in support of them, and frankly learning with them, because as we some of these plans as we do them will be the first time for our staff as well, and they'll become models for other municipalities.
But we're not going to be designing alternate energy.
You are correct, Mimi.
Reviewing and more from the standpoint of land use.
Just you.
Good. And it is just like, for example, on the ag retention plan, we recognize the expertise of Monique and the Department of Agriculture. So they will be playing a large role, I hope, in working with the municipality. And again, we stay engaged because these create models for all of us, and our staff have certain expertise that can be lent to these projects as well.
I certainly don't want to cut off any discussion, so I'll ask one more time. Anyone from the council have anything else to say about this petition before we call for a vote?
Acting Chair, may I just add that the Department of Transportation has sent
me... It's you who gave me the time schedule.
I'm sorry. But I just want to go on the record. The Department of Transportation has sent a letter for each of the municipalities and the county of support today, saying it is consistent with their planning objectives as well. And now I will say a word more.
Okay.
Annette, please, the roll.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Lutz?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizzioli?
Yes.
And Acting Chairman Sharn?
Yes.
Acting Chair, if I can ask you and the Mayor to come for the first photograph.
Sure.
And Jim, please.
Kurt makes it himself. Kurt, that's why he was almost late. He was baking. So he takes it all again.
That's trying.
You call pretend. Well, it's something most of us relate to.
What are your comments?
Because it used to be that the size of towns and square miles. I'm saying there's a sparsely populated.
Item number 10, public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan performance, Calpine Road.
Yes, Acting Chair, we have Mayor Charles Daniel is here, and Bruce Morrow is from the Chair of the Planning Board is here, and their consultant planners, Betsy McKenzie and Caroline Armstrong, are there. I'll begin.
Yes, please.
Okay. Now we're going to have a look at Califon Borough, and I have to confess, in the case of Califon and Glen Gardner, they're my neighbouring boroughs, so I know and love them both very well. So it's great to be having a look at incredibly bucolic places, as you can see from here, with historic and natural areas that are really beautiful. And incredibly beautiful places to live.
Can we open that door? I'm sorry.
Califon Borough was established in 1918, according to the census data of 2002, has a population of 1,053 people, land area approximately a square mile, 31 acres of agricultural lands, preserved lands 60 acres, and again, you've got to view that and judge that in terms of the size of the community.
10%.
And a total forest area of 275 acres. A look back in time, here you see Califon Borough in 1930. So you can see the developed area here and agricultural lands around here, some of that being in Lebanon Township here, and some here, and again, natural areas over here. And the community on the banks of the river. Here you see today, 2007, and you do see an increased developed area. Some again is in over here in Lebanon Township, and some as the area has grown around the very beautiful borough of Califon. Significant Highland statistics. It is one of the five municipalities that is entirely within the preservation area. The existing community zone is approximately 40% of the municipality. Protection zone, 43%, and conservation zone, approximately 11%. Agricultural priority areas, 70 acres at 11%. Highlands open water protection, about 30%, 191 acres, again including the buffers. Forest resource area, 48%. And the conservation priority area is 13% or 81 acres. Again, looking at it in terms of these statistics, the developed land is a little over half the municipality, some 53%. Natural lands about 47%. And now a quick fly through Califon.
Very clear.
However, well worth the visit if you want to go to a beautiful two general stores there, Rambo's for incredible meats and
where's
fabulous art stores.
It's,
I beg your pardon?
Where's the Walmart?
I think I should say nothing on that, but this is a community filled with local character and great volunteer people in this community. We've attempted to assist Califon a lot with issues related to flooding, and we'll continue to stay working with them on those kinds of issues and the other problems that brings with septics, etc. So that's a look at Califon Borough.
Twenty-five years ago, my wife and I had a house in Washington Township. And I started running, jogging at that time. I was a little overweight. And I was too small to carry around as much pounds as I did. So I started running through Washington Township. And because we lived on West Valleybrook Road at the time, I wound up in Califon more often than not. So I became very familiar with fact, I think that was the postal address for that edge of Washington Township.
Well, here you can see the land use. The land use ordinance maps of the region where Jack Schwarer used to run. You can see the, that's actually a very hilly area, so that's why Jack is now nimble and great health, thank God. You can see here the protection area. Here's the existing community. These darker, this darker color here is showing you the constrained subzone. A clearer look at that map. Here you see those Highlands open water, the streams here in Califon, and again the watershed valleys by Hut 14 sub-watershed.
What river is that?
Sorry?
What river is that?
Here, in you have the Raritan River running through California.
South Branch.
South Branch. Yeah. I was trying to remember the name of the. There's a trail, the Columbia Trail, there as well that you can walk through and walk along the river for part of it too. Steep slopes here. This is related to the issue I described that we're working with the mayor and his town on a lot. And he's had some significant help, I believe, from Congressman Lance in that area. But you see the steep slopes here, so the flooding comes down into Main Street and causes problems for many of the properties on septic. Here you see the prime groundwater recharge areas, the karst topography, and wellhead protection. Oh, this was, for a second I was taken aback, you haven't seen this one. This is the historic, look at you've got the historic properties, and the historic district here. Again, all the maps are displayed on the wall, but we wanted to highlight these for you. It's part of the reason, I think, the charm of Califon. Here you see areas served by public water. Were there any served by sewer, we would show it. And so this brings to light some of the sort of typical issues that you face in a community that hasn't got a sewer that's reliant on septics, but you do see public water supply here. This one shows you preserved lands with conservation priority areas shown here. Petition for plan conformance. In terms of Califon Borough, the staff person from the Highlands Council that worked with Califon is Chris Stannis. Chris, are you here? Can you give us a wave, please?
Thank you.
So Chris worked very closely with Betsy, Caroline, and the planning board and elected officials from Califon. The timing, their petition was submitted and consistent with the law, December of 2009, deemed complete January 22nd, posted to the website February 1st. In July, the draft consistency report was sent to the municipality. In November, the final draft report was posted to the Highlands Council website. December 3rd was the end of the public comment period, as it is the case for all of these petitions before you today. It had started on November 17th. The final report was posted on the 10th, and thus the matter is before you for your consideration at today's public hearing. Again, a quick look at the modules. Modules 1 and 2, the build-out. Califon's petition is consistent. Module 3, their housing plan, again consistent. Module 4, their environmental resource inventory, consistent. Module 5, Highlands master plan element, consistent. Module 6, their land use ordinance, consistent. And Module 7, their petition for plan conformance, is consistent. Again, this is a preservation area only municipality. And I do know that they have significant opportunities for public involvement in the municipality during all of this process. The comments were received again on this from Helen Heinrich, as I explained, on each of these towns from the New Jersey Farm Bureau. And those comments were previously been addressed at this meeting. Likewise from Kevin Walsh on behalf of the Fair Share Housing Centre, again addressed as before. The staff recommendation on Califon Borough's petition for plan conformance is to approve it with conditions. The adoption of their ordinance for the planning area should not be there because, as I've said, they are an entirely preservation area municipality, so they will not be adopting an ordinance for a planning area. They will, however, complete and adopt an ERI, a Master Plan Highlands Element, a Highlands Land Use Ordinance, an updated zoning map, and their wastewater management plan. We will correct this PowerPoint before posting it because it becomes a matter of record. Also, their conditions compliance, again, with the Fair Housing Act. This condition requires updates on COA proceedings and council review of any proposed changes. Again, understanding the floods that COA's in, we will stay engaged with the community and make sure that they stay in compliance with the Fair Housing Act. Update and or development and implementation of the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, updates for Stormwater Management Plan, Habitat Conservation Management Plan, Land Preservation and Stewardship Program, Septic System Management and Maintenance Plan, and the Right to Farm Ordinance. Again, we have worked with the municipality, we'll continue to do through the Current Performance Grant Program as well to meet their needs as we move through implementation of plan conformance. And that brings us now to your council information.
I'm going to open this meeting to the public. We'll comment first.
Do you want the mayor to lead?
If the mayor is here, yes, Mayor. Yeah.
My name is Charlie Daniel, mayor of the borough of Califon. Thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. We are excited to move forward with the Highlands plan. I've mentioned this in other meetings in the past, that Califon has looked forward to implementing the Highlands. Executive Director Swan has mentioned, we are 100% preservation area. I consider Califon the jewel of the River Raritan. It is a beautiful community. We have a beautiful historic district area. We have a very clean trout stream that runs through it, and we'd like to keep it that way. A number of our businesses are actually supported by that trout stream, with fishermen coming into the area. As Executive Director Swan mentioned, we do have a stormwater issue, which we have received a federal grant to work with, but also the Highlands Council staff will be working with us to help address that issue in the coming years. I'd just like to say, we're excited. We were looking forward to this. We've been working a long time to get here. We're finally here. And I thank you for letting us be here. Thank you.
Anyone else from the community would like to speak? Yes. No? Any other members of the public here to speak about this application? No?
Get up before mom with us.
I'm Bill Kibler. I'm the Executive Director of the South Branch Watershed Association. The South Branch of the Raritan River flows through the center of beautiful downtown Califon. So I wanted to come here first to support the borough's petition for plan conformance and to ask the council to move on that today. But that's not the real reason I'm here today. As it turns out, I'm a resident of Califon. And the real reason I'm here today is I wanted to thank my mayor and borough for doing the right thing. And I want to thank the council and the council staff for helping in that process. It wouldn't have happened without teamwork on both sides. And those of us that live in Califon and really appreciate the South Branch of the Raritan River appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Willa?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. On behalf of NJCF, I urge you to support the petition. But also on my own behalf, I live in Tewksbury, about 3 miles, right next door to the borough, and it's a beautiful borough, and it has everything. You can go hiking on the county, the trail, which is also the Highlands Trail, actually. It's part of the Highlands Trail at that point, and I go shopping there. There's a wonderful little on Main Street, a wonderful little deli, and there's a little gift shop and an art store and the hardware store, and I go there for an afternoon and I feel like I've been on vacation. It is wonderful. Thank you.
You can run through the town also.
Going once? Council members?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, on one of the slides, Eileen, you showed a significant area on steep slope. And I know it's a consideration. Does the town or borough have any direction on the ordinances in place relative to that steep slope? Can we speak? You do.
We already have steep slope regulations. Plus, there are regulations from the DEP that are even stricter than we could have imagined. So.
Well, I know.
I think we're covered there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other council members? If not, I need a motion. Hearing, seeing no one else, we can move to a vote.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovac?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
And Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Thank you. We're doing fine. We don't have a lot of time to.
Would that come for
you? Executive Director's presentation.
next resolution is now before you.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, the next resolution for you is for Marwar Township in Bergen County. Unfortunately, the mayor, Mayor Martel, wants to be here this evening, but he's unwell. We've been up to meet him on many occasions and worked with him on open space projects up in Bergen County, and so he was really sorry not to be here today. And he did have someone who was meant to come in his place, but then something else occurred. So he called only this afternoon to say that he's really sorry not to be here. But he wanted to tell you all thank you, and I do want to point out Mary Jude Hannah-Weiler is our staff liaison to Marwar, and so I want to recognize her work as the municipality has as well. That would be very nice, Jen, at the end, if we could. Yes. So here's a look at Marwar Township. This is a particularly beautiful view, I think, of showing us the sort of the proximity of the highlands to the more urban areas. Here you see the classic preservation farmland sign as well, so a great introduction to Marwar. Incorporated in 1944, and the population as of 2000, 24,062 people. A land area of 26 square miles. Preserved lands, 8,745, and total forested area of 10,487 acres. Look back in time, back to 1930, and you'll see today that this forested area, which is really the preservation area part of Marwar here, more open lands, and what you'll see is that the area in the planning area. And this is it today. So you can see this area, probably because of its particular characteristics, has remained relatively undisturbed, and a lot of it now is preserved. Whereas this area here has become the more developed portion of Marwar Township. Preservation area lands, 9,478, so 57%. Planning area lands, 43%, some 7,000 acres. Of that, the existing community zone is about 37% of that. Again, that pattern of development that exists. And the protection zone, about 57%. Highlands open water protection, 49%, some 8,000 acres fall within that. The forest resource area, 64%. Conservation priority areas, 8%. And special environmental zone, there is 124 acres of that special environmental zone in Marwar Township. Some more statistics. Looking at the subtotal of developed lands there, you can see it's nearly 36%, and then 64% of natural lands in Marwar Township. A quick trip to Marwar. A very quick landing there. Thank you, Jason. And you can see you're in here, the planning area of the municipality. So again, you can see that developed area. And then we're moving into the preservation area. And as I was saying, a lot of this is preserved. Here you see the Campbell Mountain Reservation. Again, some planning area to your right, fairly developed. Two going across it here. We're going to turn, go with that planning area portion, the developed portion. So it's very split, this municipality, but you can see again why the preservation area is where it is and the planning area where it is. It's very easy to see in the context of Marwar Township. Township offices there. So we need a park there in that developed area. That's, I believe, the Sheraton Hotel complex you see there as you leave the planning area into the preservation area. Again, Rampo Valley County Reservation, a lot of the preserved lands here in this particular area of the municipality. Macmillan Reservoir there. again, a municipality that's very, very divided in terms of the non-developed area versus the developed area preservation planning area. Okay, having a look at the ordinance maps for Marwa Township, again, this is sort of the see-through version of the land use capability zone, showing you, again, that area really, which is the protection zone. Again, you can see how the land use capability zone mapping has captured existing conditions. Here, the protection zone, and here, that developed area falling within that existing community zone, showing a level of development that has occurred and supported often by infrastructure. Here you see the forest resource area, again, that density mapping and forest integrity. You see here the lake management areas, the lakes and ponds, streams, wetlands, and the hug values, high versus low. Here you see steep slopes. Again, I think it speaks for itself. As we were saying, why this area has remained largely undeveloped, with steep slopes in this versus the relatively flat area where you saw a lot of development. This next map showing you the prime groundwater recharge areas and wellhead protection areas. This one shows you existing areas served. You can see this is where you have water supply and sewer, and where you in fact have both in terms of this area here. These again are your preserved lands being shown here in green, and then high and moderate for conservation priorities. Their petition for plan conformance, again submitted December of 2009, deemed complete January 22nd, posted to the website February 1st. The draft consistency review was sent June 8th, and the final draft report was posted to the website November 17th, and that began the public comment period, which then ended on December 3rd. On the 10th, the final report was posted to the website, which brings us today to their public hearing. Modules 1 and 2, the build-out report, they are consistent. Likewise, Module 3 for their fair share plan. Module 4, environmental resource inventory, consistent. And Module 5, Highlands Master Plan element, consistent. Module 6, the Land Use Ordinance, also consistent. And their petition for plan conformance, also consistent. And they are petitioning for both preservation and planning area. The public comment period, again, from November 17th to December 3rd, and comments were received from Kevin Walsh, and those I reported out are summary responses to that when I spoke about Bethlehem's petition. The recommendation from the staff is to approve with conditions. The adoption of the ordinance petitioning for the planning area, the adoption of the completed final environmental resource inventory, the master plan Highlands element, the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, their updated zoning map, and their wastewater management plan. Again, compliance with the Fair Housing Act, and the update and development and implementation of the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, the Stormwater Management Plan, updates only, Habitat Conservation and Management Plan, Land Preservation and Stewardship, Septic Maintenance and Management, Right to Farm Ordinance, Sustainable Economic Development Plan, and a stream corridor protection and restoration plan. And that brings you to council deliberation for Marwa Township.
Should we ask for public comment first, or should we ask for a motion?
I will do a motion first.
Is there a motion on this resolution?
So moved. I'll second that.
No. Yes, you may.
Can I ask a question? Under the specific issues in one of the conformance documents, you mentioned that there's about $100,000 of funding allocations. Are these grants that we've already given?
You have already given to each of these municipalities under the plan performance grant $100,000. Now, the plan was that the municipalities would have $50,000 sort of by right and then could ask for extra monies up to $100,000. What we've done in the case of each of the municipalities is any funding that wasn't fully expended to get to this point, the point where they're petitioning you, is reallocated for new planning that they must do. And then more money is allocated through the plan implementation grant.
This had $50,000 for the stream corridor, $30,000 for habitat conservation, and $20,000 for sustainable economic.
That is correct, and that is what is happening in each of the petitions you're seeing. There is a schedule and a plan for each municipality. Some of these monies are additional monies added to the $100,000, and that's been in the resolution you've done, and they're from the grant, the Highlands Protection Fund. Others are, some of it is reallocation of the existing, so it's an amended grant.
So these are already grants that we've approved. This isn't something...
You're amending them.
We're amending them.
With the resolution, you are amending these grants to allocate further funding. The Act required that the municipalities come into conformance, and then we are requiring, for example, the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan. It's a requirement. There are optional elements that the towns may ask for priority funding for. For example, in the case of Bethlehem, it was the Agricultural Retention Plan. So some of the monies you're reallocating from the $100,000, and then others are coming, are new funding from the Highlands Protection Fund.
Why don't we have this as a separate resolution approving these funds as grants?
Because it's part of the resolution for plan conformance, because under the Act you are obliged to pay for the reasonable costs associated with. The town, if it doesn't get the funding from you, is not obliged to do the work. So we did one resolution that has the petition and the funding for the reasonable costs associated with that petition. And you've been doing this for each of the municipalities.
There was only one other that we approved tonight that had, one of them had a $10,000 one, I believe.
They've each had a...
So this is new funding, that these are new grants that we're approving.
What you're doing is you're amending their plan conformance grant for the additional activities that you're mandating they do. When we say with conditions, the conditions are that they do, as part of this resolution, those different planning elements. And what you're doing is, because these towns, many of them were able to be very efficient with the monies we gave, and thus there are monies left over, we've been able to use a lot of that funding. It depends on the municipality, some at more, some at less. And then you are indeed amending the grants, Mimi, to use additional funds from the grant program.
We're not pulling money out of the air, but we are supporting the ability of the towns to go forward.
No, I have no problem with that. I just kind of feel that it should be, you know, separate and more easily understood rather than just drafted with the rest of the resolution. Because if you didn't read this carefully, you wouldn't realize that we are approving another $100,000 with this resolution.
That's within what we have already approved.
I don't see it in the resolution saying anything specific, to be honest.
Each municipality is unique unto itself as to what the funding is, based on the size of the municipality, the necessity for funding for that particular, like for example in this case, there's quite a lot of money for the stream corridor and restoration plan. So it is significant, but the need is significant in Mull for this work. So what we've done is, in each case, we've looked at the particulars of that municipality in advising what amount be allocated for funding. We also take into consideration the requests of the municipalities.
Just
I don't see that those dollars are mentioned in the resolution.
Yeah, the resolution.
I saw it in the conformance document.
Yeah, the resolution includes not only the prior approval of the $100,000, but incorporates the implementation plan and schedule, which actually includes the dollar amounts for each particular town. Part of the public comment process is that the public is commenting on the report and the implementation plan and schedule, which are all posted on the website, shows the dollar amounts for each particular town. And they vary, as Eileen said, per town, because each town is different.
And if you voted to approve different forms?
Correct.
You didn't have the funding, it wouldn't take place.
Correct.
You need both.
Correct.
Right. It's an all-encompassing right. type resolution.
So you need both.
Yes.
And the law requires both. The law requires that the council provide funding for the conformance activities that are approved.
But it isn't stated in the resolution.
The resolution states about the existing grant funding and that the implementation plan scheduled additional grant funding. So it is in there.
Just by reference.
Correct.
And then each town gets that separate document, which is the plan, implementation, and grant schedule, which sets forth the activities they do, a guiding timeline, and the funding in order for them to achieve that.
Right. And this schedule is pretty detailed.
It is. We try to work. And again, as Tom pointed out, it is all publicly posted as well.
I think it should just be pointed out this evening that this is the first Bergen County town that is going to have full compliance. This is a town that's been under the last 20 years under tremendous pressure to develop because of its proximity to 17. June 17, 202, 208, and 287. And noting that it has it's 43% in open water protection area, I hope that they're planning now to preserve that water and have smart growth. They've been under tremendous pressure. I read about it all the time in the paper, in our local paper.
Thank you. Any other council members at this moment? Public? Anyone?
Good evening. Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. We heard at the first of the meeting that the Highlands Development Bank is making progress, buying easements from people with hardships and expanding their program, but there's still no receiving area. All we can do is to spend that money to help some of these people in their dire financial situations. And looking at this town, it seemed I saw a whole lot of area that had water and sewer, and I wondered in the discussion of conformance whether there was a discussion of a potential future receiving area in a town like this.
In the case of, if I might respond, with every municipality, we go through a build-out analysis and we look at their capacity. So in each case then, as we go through this plan conformance process, we're discussing with them what their potential for future development is. And if there is capacity for future development in every case, we encourage them to study feasibility for the use of TDR. And when we have meetings with them, we likewise do. In some cases, we find that they're built out now. If they don't have capacity, obviously there's not much conversation going to happen there. But in every case, we talk with each municipality where we see capacity about that potential. And we encourage them with the use of grant funding so they could plan for additional development using TDR.
There's an interesting newsletter from New Jersey Future that's online right now that has a report on how many areas that are built out have large numbers of building permits and redevelopment. All sorts of things are happening. So I get very frustrated with so many towns that are built out. So I hope you will continue to encourage and look for every opportunity, because we sure need them.
Staff did read that report, and I believe we got it in the last couple of days, and we're very interested by it and intrigued by it, but again, it comes back to capacity issues as well as
the developed area and municipality.
I know that the time is short, so I just urge you to support this petition. This is really one of the two municipalities that are in Bergen County in the Highlands, and it does have some of the very some of the most dramatic Highland scenery, actually, in the preservation area portion. A lot of the Boy Scout camps that were preserved there, like Camp Wapa, I think it was called. Anyway, there are several camps in the Ramapo Mountains that people took a lot of time and effort and money to preserve, so that that western portion of the town that's in the preservation area is indeed preserved. I mean, I think we're quite lucky that it would be nice to see, I mean, that part of the preservation area is like in public ownership, really. Anyway, it's a great place, and it certainly deserves to be in conformance with the Highlands plan. Thank you very much.
Mr. Schill. New Jersey is a great place. New Jersey is a great place. New Jersey is a great place.
Well, yeah. Well, the Highlands is the best part, though.
Depends on where you live.
Depends on how much land you own. My name is David Schoff. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. What we see here today are towns that, like the first batch, that have, except for Mahwah, which has the most in the preservation area, or I'm sorry, the planning area, but apparently a good part of that is preserved in one way or another, whether it be ownership by camps or whatever. We have these towns in exchange for a lesser COA obligation, I call it the COA bribe, opting in to this plan, and quite willing to throw a rather small number of landowners under the bus so that they don't have to have poor people in their town. I think it boils down to essentially that. And that that applies to all four things today. Califon, they're 100% in the preservation area, so they had no choice, really.
Anyone else? For a vote, I think. Annette, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizzioli?
Yes.
And Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Okay, does anybody want to break for a couple of minutes, or do you want to keep moving?
Jack, I would like a photograph of you with Mary Jude, please.
How about that?
Can we just have a break? Just stay awake.
There you go. No break. That's it.
I'm not going to How many times did I try to get to over, like, keeping it 3 minutes and then just turn it off?
Some of that one.
That one guy.
I thought, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have another.
I ate like five of them.
Another box on the back.
Oh, it's Chris.
Okay, just want you to know, I read this stuff. Eileen, they should know I read this stuff.
Absolutely, it's great. I never doubted that, maybe. You called me anyway.
Condition for plan performance submitted by Glenn Garden.
We have Mayor Kovacs here with us, acting chair.
He just left his
Oh, thank you.
He's not leaving.
He's not here.
Well, he is here, but he's not here. He's in the building, I believe.
Yes, he's not out the building.
By the way, while we have a minute to mention that, I think I should be congratulated. The New Jersey section of the American Water Resources Association has selected Dan Van Abs as its recipient for 2010 of the Peter Homack Award.
Yeah.
They're going to get an official presentation in February, Dan. So hang on. And just for our edification, Peter Homack is remembered as an outstanding engineer, an inspiring leader, and a dedicated supporter of many educational, environmental, and technical interests, foremost among them, water resources. He was instrumental in founding the New Jersey section of the American Water Resources Association and served various offices there. He's an exemplary member of the AWRA, and the New Jersey section recognizes him each year with this award, presented to an individual who's made an outstanding contribution to the field of water resources. A previous recipient was Ray Zabahach, who was the planner for Morris County, and a very good and dear friend of mine, who is now a council member in Morris Plains. So it's a distinguished company, Dan. Thank you. You deserve it.
It's because he's former recipient. It's just the way it is.
Well, nothing wiser. He saw the light.
I think Mayor Kovacs is with us.
Ah, good. Okay. I saw it. Thank you. Presentation.
Okay, my other neighboring borough, Borough of Glen Garden, now, so it gives me great pleasure. I've actually worked with Stan in a previous life in Lebanon Township as well, so we've known each other for years, and our communities work together. And fire and rescue, and again, have wonderful volunteers in both towns, so it's a pleasure.
Gardner still has a freeholder, is that correct, in Hunterdon?
Yes.
Doesn't your municipality have a freeholder in Hunterdon County?
Rob Walt,
Next door.
Okay, thank you.
So here's a quick look now and an introduction to the council, to Glen Garden Borough, so that we can have a look at the borough that you are now considering for plan performance. Again, a very, very beautiful place with a great historic character. Looking at, I think, there's one large farm there. The borough was established in 1926, and according to the 2006 information, had a population of 1,830 people. Land area about one square mile and a half. Agricultural lands, about 84 acres, preserved lands, 124 acres, and wetlands, about 49 acres. Again, that look back in time, you see the borough here. Back in 1930, you see the forested lands, and you see open ag. And here you have Hampton Borough, where freeholder Rob Walton hails from. And Hampton, you've already took action on at your last meeting. So here's a look today, so you can see more of a developed area in Glen Gardner. Again, I know earlier we were talking about beautiful places to visit. There's a wonderful place in Glen Gardner if any of you are going out to dine. But again, beautiful river crossing, beautiful bridge, so another beautiful borough. Preservation area lands, 991 acres. It's 100% preservation area once again. Existing community zone, about 35% of the borough. Protection zone, 49%. And conservation zone, about 100 acres, 10%. agricultural priority areas, about 11% of the borough, Highlands Open Water Protection, about 38%, forest resource area, about 60%, and conservation priority area, about 29%. The subtotal of developed lands is about is a little over half the borough of Glen Gardner, and the natural lands then about 48%. So now we're going to do a brief flyover of Glen Gardner Borough. The plane is slow to take off, but here we go. Here you can see Route 31 coming in. There's a quarry here on your right, and you're following up through Main Street. You see here the municipal building. The fire department has actually moved over to Route 31. But a beautiful little downtown area of Glen Gardner. Post office there on Main Street. Glen Gardner Inn is there on Main Street at the end, and this is that farm, the Grockowitz Farms. Again, a lot of volunteers in this borough. And then you head up Route 31 towards Hampton and Washington in Warren. The land use capability zone map of the one of the ordinance maps. Here you can see existing community zone, the protection area, the wildlife management area here. Looking at it clearly, you've got that farm up here, and so you've got those more open ag lands there. Looking here at your streams and your buffers, and again your HUC 14, all high value here. The steep slopes in Glen Gardner Borough. There are some very steep slopes in some areas of the borough, as you can see on this slide. Prime groundwater recharge area, as is to be expected over a lot of the forested areas, and wellhead protection areas. Here you have the public community water systems, and similar as when we were looking at Califon, we don't have sewer service areas here. You have here the high priority areas for conservation, moderate and high value. Here you have ag, high and moderate again for preservation. Chris Dennis is our staff member who did the work for Glen Gardner. Working with Betsy and Caroline again in the case of Glen Gardner. Here's a look back at their petition. It was submitted in December of 2009, deemed administratively complete in January, posted to the website in February. In July, the draft consistency report was sent to the municipality. In November 17th, beginning of the public comment and the final draft was posted to the website. That public comment period ended on December 3rd, and the final report was posted on the website on the 10th of December. And that brings us again today to your public hearing on Glen Gardner's petition. Running through the modules, modules 1 and 2, the build-out, consistent. Module 3, their fair share, that also is consistent. Module 4, their environmental resource inventory, consistent. Module 5, Highlands Master Plan element, consistent. The Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance, also consistent. And their petition was consistent. As I mentioned, in other municipalities, the opportunity to work with municipalities, we've had an opportunity to work with Glen Gardner on an issue with use of a well in their community, and had the opportunity to support that in their work with the Department of Environmental Protection. Again, we welcome those opportunities to work with municipalities. Here you see a public comment for Glen Gardner. We received comments from Helen Heinrich on behalf of the New Jersey Farm Bureau, and those we addressed when we spoke about Bethlehem Township Likewise, on behalf of Fair Share Housing Center, we received comments from Kevin Walsh, which I've also given you the summary responses to. Again, all our detailed responses in the case of each of these petitions was posted on the website for each of the petitions. The recommendation from the staff is to approve Glengardner Borough's petition for plan performance with conditions. There is no need for an ordinance for the planning area because this is an entirely preservation area municipality. Completion and adoption of the ERI, completion and adoption of the master plan, Highlands element, and the Highlands land use ordinance, an adoption of an updated zoning map, and a wastewater management plan to be part of the county plan. Compliance again with the Fair Housing Act, and the update and or development and implementation of the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, the Stormwater Management Plan updates, Habitat Conservation and Management Plan, Land Preservation and Stewardship Program, Septic System Management and Maintenance, and the Right to Farm Ordinance. And that brings you to the Council deliberation on petition from Glengardner Borough.
Thank you, Lady. I will entertain a motion.
So moved. I'll second.
Okay. And open the meeting to public comment.
The mayor may wish to speak first.
What's that?
You may want the mayor to
speak
first.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mayor. Come on. I'm just so excited here tonight.
May all the rest of your municipalities go as quickly as this one.
Thank
you for having me here. And for the record, Ms. Kovach and I are not related in any way.
Sorry, made that clear.
Don't have a freehold, but we do have a congressman from Glengardner. Congressman Lance was born and partially educated in Glengardner. Yes,
that's right.
I'd like to thank you for this opportunity, and I'd like to thank Eileen for the many years her and I have been together and worked together on many different projects, and also with Dr. Van Abs over there. We worked with him. If it wasn't for Chris and my support staff for the planning for from Betsy and Caroline, I don't think this project would have got completed on time. They were terrific. Betsy, I even know, put her vacations off until this was done, so thank you very, very much. Again, I'd like to thank you. I was kind of leery when the Highlands Act first came out on how it would affect municipalities. I mean, all mayors are concerned when the state steps in with regulations. We're all concerned about that. But as soon as we talked about preservation area, the whole of Glengardner, I looked at it from a point where development, what little property we didn't have to develop could be protected as open space. It was a big advantage for Glengardner. It's cost effective for Glengardner for us to do it this way. Hopefully we can meet the requirements that are necessary, pass our ordinances and about so on. And we can live a long and fruitful life together and work very long. But thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Excellent. Any other members of the public? Yes, sir.
Still Bill Kibler. As far as I know, I'm still the executive director of the South Branch Watershed Association. Glengardner is another South Branch community. Obviously, we support their petition. You don't need me to tell you that. I want to thank the staff again for doing an excellent job on these presentations. I'm impressed by the amount of information that's brought to bear for the council to look at. But I wanted to take a step back in this particular instance with Glengardner to take an opportunity to look at the big picture. Flowing through Glengardner is Spruce Run, which is one of the major sources for Spruce Run Reservoir, the third largest reservoir in the state of New Jersey, right next door to Round Valley, the largest reservoir in the state of New Jersey. The Spruce Run is part of a water system that provides drinking water to over a million New Jersey residents, none of them in Glengardner, most of them east and some north of Glengardner. But I just wanted to mention that because I think sometimes among all the facts and figures, it's easy to lose track of why we're doing this, especially with some of these the smaller boroughs like my hometown of Califon. it may be easy to think sometimes that some of these smaller boroughs are insignificant, but they're all critically important pieces of the puzzle. And I thank the council and the staff for taking the time to be thorough with each and every one of them. Thank you.
I see another hand. Mella?
I don't have anything new to say. Do it.
To the council? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovac?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. This is excellent. Really, I mean, just adding to this list and seeing the unanimity of the council, hearing the public comments, it's really quite thrilling for somebody who has been, as Eileen and I have, in this from the very beginning. And the Highlands Council does a big job here. But we do nothing without the staff. It's been mentioned several times. We could go home and stay there, and the staff could continue doing the good work. So, Judy and
so all of you folks.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Sorry, my tongue just gets a little bit. Chris, thank you. And others. Mary Jude, where's she?
She went down with the rest of the plans.
Okay. Well, we are now moving to
the photograph.
The photograph.
With the mayor.
I was near before 2005. I survived. I was 6 feet tall, but from the first time. But everything is fine. And it's an all public town. I get an all public
We have a petition for planned performance from one of the seven condos in the Highlands region. And the first planned performance petition from any county in the Highlands region was submitted by, drum roll please, the same county. So we're going to entertain that petition right now.
Right, and representing Passaic County, we have Kathleen Karen, who's the open space coordinator and has been just incredible to work with. We're so pleased that she's here with us. The staff have so thoroughly enjoyed working with her. And with her is Michael, and I hope I get this right, the cicadas?
Got it.
Oh, good. Michael and Kathleen and the team up there, we're sorry that Michael Laplace, the director, couldn't be with us tonight, but frankly, we're thrilled to have Kathleen and Michael. We've been up there on a couple of occasions to meet with them. They have shown, and I think shown the way for the rest of the counties. They've shown that how this can be done, how it can be done in a great partnership. And we've enjoyed going up and making presentations up there because we've always felt so welcome. And again, it's a beautiful part of the country to be in. So we're thrilled to have our first county and look forward then to others following the blazing trail led by Passaic. Total county land area is about 198 square miles. The Highlands portion of that is 66% of the total county land area. They are divided in preservation and planning area. 94% is in the preservation area, and this petition is for the preservation area. As you can imagine, it would be, in the case of all the counties, any petitions received were for preservation area because municipalities will lead the way in terms of planning area. Ringwood Borough and West Milford townships are entirely in the preservation area in Passaic. Pompton Lakes Borough, entirely in the planning area. Bloomingdale Borough and Wanacue Borough have lands in each. This is a quick view of that, so you can see Passaic County here, and you can see those preservation area municipalities shown and parts of them shown in the green. A status update on where the municipalities are in the process. We've received notice of intent from all of them, initial assessment reports from all of them. Four of them have filed their petitions. Three have been deemed complete, Wanacue is pending, and those three have been posted to the website. And reports drafted for Bloomingdale and West Milford in progress for Ringwood. So that just brings you up to date on Passaic County's Highlands municipalities. Now, this slide was put into this PowerPoint at the suggestion of Carl Richco, who I think very wisely pointed out to us that it's one thing to talk about Passaic County in terms of its Highlands region, but it's important to look at the entire municipality in terms of the importance of the Highlands region. And this is it's part of that large map that you've seen many times that shows you where the water goes from the Highlands to those areas outside of the Highlands region that depend for some portion of their water on the Highlands. So here you can see it at 75% or greater is in this colour. So you can see that the great dependence in the south part of Passaic County on this region. So as we talk about why is it important to preserve the Highlands, and these people are saying, well, you know, why is that percentage of the realty transfer tax fee that goes to supporting the Highlands Act and the work you do, why is that important to us? Well, here's the reason it's important to it, because as long as this stays protected, the quality and quantity of your water is protected.
Could I just say something, Mr. Chairman? I've been on the Passaic County Open Space Committee for the past 11 or 12 years. I'm not sure, Kathleen, how long it's been in progress, but a lot of times we hear from people down county in Patterson, Clifton, Passaic, you know, why are we funding money for preserving lands in the upper part of the county where we can't really use it? Well, this shows why, because in the green area up there, you have the North Jersey Watershed Supply and the Newark Watershed area, thousands of acres of watershed, and I think about six or seven reservoirs altogether. And if you look down the bottom of Passaic County, it shows that all of that water, the majority of water that's used in the lower Passaic County, comes from upper Passaic County and Morris County and Sussex County areas. So that's why it needs to be preserved, and I think that's why, you know, the Highlands Act is so important to the people that use the water in the lower Passaic counties. Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking at Passaic County and the work they've done, and certainly I think with Kathleen and Michael here with us today, we have to recognize the history they have of planning and proactive planning and conservation initiatives in Passaic. The Board of Chosen Freeholders formed the Passaic County Planning Commission in 1929. The commission was reorganized as the Passaic County Planning Board in 1936, and just last year they celebrated 80 years of planning. The county's been particularly active and effective in preserving open space, and that's something that Kathleen leads, and we've been fortunate enough to go up and actually hear her speak about ongoing initiatives and future goals for the county. Since its establishment in 2001, the county has preserved nearly 2,000 acres through its Open Space Trust Fund. Numerous other initiatives are highlighted in the following slides from a document that the county prepared to celebrate their 80th anniversary. So we're pleased to be able to highlight this for you here today. And Judy Thornton was our Highlands Council planner who worked with Passaic and got, I think, rather too much joy out of this one. So it was Judy that pulled together this look back and the celebration of 80 years of planning from Passaic County's website. So you can see that, and interestingly enough, I think we should point out here, the Passaic County Board of Chosen Freeholders, the freeholder director for their 80 years of planning celebration, was none other than one of our council, previous council members, Tahisha Wade. And so if you look back at 80 years of planning by Passaic County, it's interesting to look at the dates here. In 1996, they added two questions to their ballot looking at open space and park improvement referendum and an open space acquisition referendum. Both were approved by the voters. In 1997, they established their advisory committee for the program. And then also they had a resolution, February 3rd, 1999, which authorized their open space tax. A recommendation was made for the tax rate for the calendar year of 1999, and they fixed it at $0.01 per $100 of assessed value at that time. So we can see from this, back there in 2001, the Open Space Fund had amassed approximately $35 million and has preserved, as we pointed out earlier, 2,000 acres of land. So a great deal of work has been done in terms of county parks and open space preservation. This next slide shows you the changing geography of Passaic County. And interesting to look at back in the times of the American Revolution, Passaic County was actually part of Bergen and Essex. And then named after the river, which powered the factories of the American Industrial Revolution, Passaic County was formed in 1837, made up of seven towns. And then today you see it over here, the 16 towns of Passaic County represent a geographic cross-section of New Jersey. And we see that from their historic cities such as Paterson, Passaic, to the beauty of the rural, reservation-only municipalities of West Milford and Ringwood. Finally here we see, in celebration of their 80 years of planning, they have this crest formed and taking the design from here from a historic structure in Passaic County. So we want to recognize them today because we know when we work with these municipalities, and in this case our first county for planned performance, that we're not coming to them for the first time and introducing some idea of preservation or planning. These communities have all been involved in it to different degrees, but Passaic certainly has to be recognized for a very active role. And I'm pleased to say the first time I met Kathleen Caron was the signing of the Highlands Act. So I think that is meaning all on its own. A Passaic County flyover, and this won't, just in case you're worried, take half an hour because we're going over the entire county, but we're going to go over the Highlands region. But again, it gives you an idea of what Passaic County in the Highlands looks like. In particular, you get to see those very pristine municipalities of West Milford and Ringwood. So we start with a slow landing. Nathan makes up his mind how he's going to fly in on each of these towns and counties. So you can see here a nice soft landing as we go through Ringwood. And again, you can see the forest of nature and the importance, again, as Carl pointed out, of these watershed lands and the Monarchy Reservoir there where the Highlands Act was actually signed. And you can see the planning area again shown in a lighter color. And you can see the developed nature of the planning area in stark contrast to the pristine preservation area. You can see there are Bloomingdale burrows, so going over the different split burrows and then back to the entirely preservation area municipalities. And in Jack's opening remarks, he talked about redevelopment projects even in the preservation area. And if you recall, we did work with West Milford on their library entirely in the preservation area, but within their municipal complex, so very good planning using previously disturbed areas, and again, planning in terms of a great access for public library. There at the top you see upper Greenwood Lake.
Where you passed, they wanted to put a jet port on the top of Air Fort Mountain. I think we just passed on the top of the mountain back in the 60s.
Sounds like baseball.
Yes, same thing.
So that was a look at Passaic County, which is before you today as you again, your first county for plan conformance. Here are the maps associated with Passaic County. You see here a map showing you preservation and planning area. And you can see it up here in context of the Highlands region. So again, a closer look at land use capability zone, protection zone, existing communities, lake community areas. So this is the Highlands region of Passaic County. Very important when you're looking at the maps in terms of the county, the tasks are different here for conformance. And what we really focus on are county managed lands and county owned lands. So you see here county preserved lands, other preserved lands, and preserved farms, which are actually very difficult to see, but there are a couple. The colours are coming up very clearly on this map. I look back at their petition for conformance. January 11th, their petition was submitted. It was deemed complete in April. April 29th, it was posted to the council website. Their draft consistency report was sent to them in August of last year, and in November the final draft report was posted to the website. Public comment period, again, as we had the case in the municipalities that you've seen today, commenced November 17th and ended December 3rd. The final report was posted to the website December 10th, and that brings you to your hearing today. Now, for the first time you've seen the steps before, but the first time in terms of considering plan conformance, the different, as we term them, tasks that the county had to do. Task A was an environmental resource inventory, which describes and illustrates the Highlands resources, resource areas, and special protection areas in the county. The staff finding in terms of consistency with the regional master plan is consistent. Their second task, Task B, was their master plan Highlands element. And that element incorporates the regional master plan goals and objectives into the county planning and provides the basis for effectuation of the regional master plan, remembering that conformance for these counties, again, is mandated for the preservation area by the Highlands Act. For Task B, they were found to be consistent. Task C is lands and facilities regulations. And this sets forth the provisions that protect the Highlands resources and effectuates the policies, goals, and objectives of the regional master plan for all county properties. And this is something we've been working on and talking about with many of the counties, was this development resolution, which would incorporate a development application checklist requirement known as provisions in Highlands Council call-up allowances. And again, the finding for that was consistent. Task D, the petition for plan conformance, they did their self-assessment report and an implementation plan and schedule, which again, each of the municipalities was required to do, and so too has the county done this, and the finding was consistent. The the projects that come through open space planning, etc., with the county, what we want to do is work with them to see what their forward planning is to make approvals easier for them in working with them for their goals and objectives in their open space planning. For their public comment period, we received a comment from Helen Heinrich, again from the New Jersey Farm Bureau. Her comments were regarding the applicability of Passaic County plan conformance to agricultural lands in private ownership within the preservation area. And the response summary is that Passaic County's petition for plan conformance applies primarily to county-owned lands and facilities, to a very limited universe of development applications. Agricultural activities are not affected. And then the second question was, how will the Highlands Council address the potential changes, if there are to be changes in the preservation area rules for septic system density? And this is due to the Farm Bureau's challenge of those rules. And the response here is that the matter is presently in litigation with all oral arguments, and thus is not right for us to get into at this point in time. The staff recommendation for Passaic County's petition is to approve with conditions. Those proposed conditions are the completion and adoption of their planning documents. They are the environmental resource inventory, master plan Highlands element, lands and facilities regulations, and the land development resolution, and adherence to that Highlands implementation plan and schedule. Additional priority tasks, and this is again where that funding is allocated under that schedule, an inventory of conservation easements for the Highlands portion of the county. Now, this is something that is very lacking, I would say statewide, but we see an opportunity here for Passaic again to blaze a trail and start doing this kind of work, which would hopefully become a model for each of the counties to take the lead in terms of inventorying the conservation easements. Now, the county facilities planning program, this is what I was referring to earlier, where we want to work with many of the counties have concerns about coming piecemeal every time they want to do something to one of their parks for coming for approvals, because again, you want to make sure you protect the natural resources. So what we wanted to do was to provide for a comprehensive plan approval for Highlands projects, minimizing that need for ongoing state permitting and reviews. And we've suggested this to the Department of Environmental Protection as well, is that to allow the county to go ahead and do a very comprehensive planning program so that you could look at all of those approvals at one go. So to see what it is they want to do in the future, so that again, it's not that piecemeal approach that's time consuming and not very efficient. And finally, a sustainable economic development master plan element. They want to work with the Passaic County Cultural and Heritage Council to do this, and we support this this plan as well. So all of these would be done under that that implementation plan schedule and funded under the Highlands Protection Fund monies.
Okay.
Now this is ready for council deliberation, and you may wish to hear from Kathleen and or Michael. After you do the motion for Tom.
Who would like to make this motion?
I will make the motion. I defer to Mr.
Second. Any discussion on the
I have a question.
Yes.
I want to be very clear with it, because this is a county and not a municipality. This is for county-owned and managed property in the preservation area. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not in the planning area?
Correct, not in the planning area.
Okay. Because the county is a larger piece of government than a municipality. And I had some initial confusion here, saying, what in the world is the county doing with this, when all the municipalities have to go through this exercise? And we have to go through this exercise for the preservation area regardless?
It is mandated for the preservation area for both counties and municipalities.
Okay.
We had many meetings with the counties, and the counties, working with us, determined that they would do the preservation area, and then it would see, would, you know, watch what the municipalities do in terms of the planning area, which seems logical.
So then legislation on behalf of the county and municipality is not adequate to conform to the regional master plan in the preservation area, so they'll have to make a consistency application, as we just went through. Is that, am I following this right?
Yes, the Act mandates that they go through this process of changing their master plans and their planning documents in order to be deemed by this council
for the preservation
to
area.
Be consistent for the preservation area only, yes.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear on that. Mm-hmm.
So Morris County went through the same question and answer process as the county was a little bit concerned that they might have to opt in, so to speak, for planning residents. Municipalities, no one wanted to do that on behalf of those towns that we found in the preservation
area. Well, as a local official, I have a huge problem with the county speaking to my
municipality. Absolutely.
We're elected for that reason, so I just want to be clear. That's the reason I asked that. So when someone asks me, I give them accurate information, like what in the world are you doing? And, you know,
indeed, I hear that.
We get a little protective of our views.
Any other questions from council members of the public? Kathleen, do you want to speak?
Yes, we have waited a long time for this. It feels like I didn't know that we'd ever get to this point, but thanks to Eileen and her staff and the council, we're here, and I want to thank everyone for their assistance. I also would like to thank our Board of Chosen Freeholders for their vision and their support, and especially former council members, freeholders, Cuccinello and Way. Indeed, Passaic County has long recognized the importance of the water resources that are contained in our county. You know, the reservoirs that provide drinking water to almost half of New Jersey's residents. We even went so far as to purchase land in New York State about 20 years ago to protect those resources in New Jersey. And it was over 100 years ago that the Newark watershed was established, because they recognized all those years ago the importance of protecting drinking water. For full disclosure, I am a resident of West Milford, in the heart of the Highlands, and I'm just thrilled to be here and again thank you for your assistance and the support, and I look forward to working with the council in the future. I don't know if Mike wants to say anything.
You're here. That's
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Public comment.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I would like to congratulate Passaic County and ask you to approve their petition. I think Passaic County really was probably where the genesis of the effort to protect the Highlands began. Folks in, well, maybe not entirely, but folks in Ringwood and the desire to protect those reservoirs, particularly the Wanacue and the Monksville, particularly, it started, I think, with that and with the protection of Sterling Forest, which is like right across the border. So I think that was where it really all kind of began. And Barefoot Mountain, which is in Passaic County, it's the summit of the view from the summit of Barefoot Mountain is really one of the iconic views of the Highlands. When you look north, south, east, or west, you have a 360-degree view over mostly unbroken forest. And it was this, it's to this fire tower that we've taken legislators, federal legislators and their staff, to try to convince them that the Highlands is a place preserving and worth the federal dollars, and that resulted in the passage of the Federal Highlands Conservation Act. So Passaic County participation in this is symbolic and extremely important, and I'm very pleased that Passaic County is doing this. And if anyone here has not been to the summit of Bear Fork Mountain, I would be glad to personally take any council members up there who have not been there. Thank you very much.
Any other members of the public? Seeing none? Any other members of the council have any other additional comments? Move to a vote, please, Anna.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
And Acting Chairman Schreiner?
Yes. Thank you. So exactly.
Yes.
You're right on schedule. It's got it all written down. Right on schedule. We have one more.
You have one more photograph to take.
One more resolution. I want you to make sure that your planners are okay with the schedule that's going to be uploaded.
That's where they work called Double Airport now. And the chancellor was saying, New York, we're going to do this with Church of Lord Borders in the early 60s.
So many of those plans that kind of live in the swirl of the year, the building is quite a little bit of a swamp.
And this show is all mountains and rivers, that's how it is.
Schedule for 2011.
They are all Thursdays. We usually meet on the third Thursday, but I can't remember
fully, but we change them if we hit on any holiday or a day that we know of that has religious observances. Mm-hmm. So we've done our best to find, to make sure we've avoided anything. Of course, your schedule is subject to change. We have to give notice if you change it in any fashion or form. But we need a schedule because we already have January petitions that are out for public comment and February. So
we understand that. But I just remind the council that new members will be joining this board fairly soon. And I think that this issue should be brought up before the full council when it's fully complemented with older or reappointed or new members. In fairness to the new members, they may not have the Thursday opportunity we have had, and that we're counting on. So I just call that to your attention. But for now, in order to publish a schedule, I think we should go forward with this. So I'll take a motion.
So I'd like to move that we approve the schedule for 2011.
I heard you have a second.
Second.
Okay. Any Any comments?
Is this okay with you, Kurt?
We did change one time for Kurt at his request.
Right.
No farmers, no food. Roll call, please.
For the public?
Public comment on the schedule? Move right to the vote.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
And Acting Chairman Schwartz?
Yes. Our last item on the agenda is public comments, and if you're still interested, I'll recognize Mr. Schwartz first.
David Chope, I have a farm in Lebanon Township. I was at the TDR Bank meeting, and what I gathered from that meeting, and correct me if I'm wrong, one hardship application was denied because it originated from a landowner who had land in probably Mansfield Township. The reason it was not heard, according to your staff and their staff, was that if this is in fact the case, this is just a refinement on the collective punishment that is visited on Highlands landowners as a result of being in the Highlands. You have now refined it to prejudice landowners who, through no fault of their own, have land in a township that doesn't conform. It's wrong. Is that right?
I would like to just respond to say that is not correct.
I'd like to hear. I'd like to be corrected.
Yeah, I'd like you to put your comments first.
Okay. This whole act is predicated on a series of lies. The first one is the way you calculate groundwater recharge. It is calculated as if every year was a drought. That in its face is false. And that's so that the people who get the water never have to live under drought conditions. The way you calculate nitrate dilution is also crazy. It probably exists nowhere else in the world. It certainly doesn't exist anywhere else in New Jersey, nor does it exist anywhere else, to the best of my knowledge, in the United States. And now we have the biggest lie. The governor has recognized it, both as a candidate, and now recently this week he said the same thing. He said, those who promised you compensation lied to you. He's got it right. I do believe that. I do not believe compensation was ever intended. So when you talk about you petitioned this and you did that and you spoke about a water fee and all this other stuff, you're whistling Dixie, because compensation was never intended. And I've submitted over the years petitions to the New Jersey Water Supply Authority to increase their source water protection fund from its current $8 a million gallons to, I suggested, 50. I published letters to this effect in newspapers, and some people responded, 8 or 10 or 12, whatever it was, responded to the Water Supply Authority supporting my position. Not one of you here, not one of you anywhere, wrote one of those letters. I left a pile of them here at the last round that started the, and incidentally, they're just starting it again, so I will do it again. So I find this kind of talk hypocritical. When you don't even take the time to write a letter supporting a raise in the water fee, I have to discount everything else you say. I would also like to see a land use capability map showing groundwater recharge with suggestions for stream bank improvements and so forth. Do it for Newark. Do it for Patterson. Let's see what that looks like. Lastly, I would think that we should all take pity on the towns that do not have the tremendous value that you bring to planning in this area. It's hard to imagine that they will continue to muddle through their planning process without you, Big Brother, looking over their shoulder. That concludes my remark.
Thank you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. I wanted to make sure that it was not going to be a give and take or a debate. So that's all right. You can sit down, Mr. Schultz. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sitting. I'm waiting.
You can go back to your seat if you like. I should do it.
I'd rather sit here.
Okay, fine.
If I understood what Mr. Shope said, he suggested that we didn't accept a landowner with a hardship petition before the bank because the land fell within a non-conforming preservation area. And I just want to assure you that is not the case. Whether or not a municipality conforms was not part of the criteria set forth. There was, however, a property owner who came in with an application, and that property owner's land is in the planning area, which at this point in time was not applicable, did not meet the criteria. But in absolutely not was there any question ever of a town that wasn't conforming being handled in that, a landowner within that not being eligible for the program. The program is set forth that if the land is in the preservation area and falls under a certain criteria, it is eligible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other members of the public care to comment?
Hello, Kate Millsaps, Clinton Township resident. In considering Passaic County's petition tonight, you were able to see firsthand the abundance of, as Eileen appropriately put it, pristine resources in West Milford and Ringwood townships. And I wanted to bring to the council's attention the destruction that is being done to West Milford and Vernon by Tennessee Gas Pipeline's project approved by this council. Bill Wolf was recently up there and took some photos of what the right-of-way now looks like. I can pass them around for you as well later on. But everything's being cut down. This project is located in one of the most resource-rich portions of the Highlands and one of the few remaining large contiguous forested tracts in the state. This company will be coming before you again in March or April this spring, asking to expand this project to go underneath the Monksville Reservoir, which is part of the North Jersey District Water Supply Commission, and that provides drinking water to nearly 2 million New Jersey residents. On top of that, tonight you also got to consider the petition for Mahwah Township. They will be asking to go through the Ramapo County Reservation in the expansion of this project. Exemption 11 allows for the maintenance and upgrade of utility projects, not the permission to just put in huge infrastructure expansions jeopardizing the resources of the region. Also, as the competitive pressure to access and transport Marcellus Shale gas grows, more of these gas pipeline projects will come before this council. In my township, Clinton Township, we have the Millennium Gas Pipeline, and they have already been sending surveyors out to the right-of-way informing landowners that they will also be asking to install a loop. And the last time that I spoke to them, they said that they are currently working on securing the contracts for Marcellus Shale gas, and they will put their their applications forward once they get those contracts secured. So I want to underscore that these projects are not consistent with the goals and purposes of the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan, and that these projects are going to continue to come before you. I urge you to deny the further destruction of our Highlands resources by saying no to these natural gas pipeline companies. Thank you.
Anyone else? Once, twice?
So.
Oh?
There's two things that were mentioned here tonight. One is the issue with co-accounts and the use of the Highlands as a reduction in obligation. Bedminster is part of the 20 towns group that sued COA over their vacant land analysis. Spirit Court has found that to be an invalid analysis and has struck down a good part of the whole COA thing. I know in Bedminster they had vacant land in the median of 78. They had it over cemeteries, and they came up with ridiculous numbers from just bad analysis. And how they did it, I don't know, but that happened. The other is the issue of building permits. I know in Bedminster, we don't. Much to my surprise, this year we almost have a record number of building permits. However, when you go through those building permits, what we're finding is very few of them generating impervious coverage, and very few of them are generating any new square footage. I think our housing structure and a lot of our commercial spaces are to the point where, like the rest of our infrastructure, roads, pipelines, and everything else, is aging, and it is, people are taking advantage of the slow time to take care of it, and I guess the pricing from contractors or whatever is good. And I 2 years ago, when this whole slump started, we were looking at, oh my God, what are we going to do with all these building inspectors? And it turns out we're actually having to increase the hours in order to handle the number of applications. But again, the impact on pervious coverage and square footage is really very, very minimal.
I never heard anyone speak about the recession in such good terms. So thank you.
Good time for reading.
It all depends on your perspective. Yes. It depends on your point of view.
That's correct.
Good, thank you. That's it for you?
I'm done, sir. Thank you. That's
in respect to that,
yes, sir.
When we talk about affordable housing, because I won't need COA, because COA will be no longer in the very near future. Anyone who even considers that as a major reason to play with the regional master plan or to opt in or opt out is making a huge mistake, because that is really not good planning. That issue will resolve itself. I think the long range plan with complying with the regional master plan and the Highlands, the whole concept, is far more complex and far more important than affordable housing. Affordable housing is a distraction. And a lot of folks get distracted with that. That should not and be the driving factor. You know, as a member of the planning board, as an elected official, as an ex-zoning board chairperson, that just muddies the water. And I think the focus that we see with a lot of these towns and municipalities that are petitioning to comply, that's a very minor issue. It should not be a major focus. To make that a major focus is a mistake, and it's bad planning. So, in reference to building permit, we're experiencing a similar phenomenon in our community, not with new, but with improvements that require building permits. And in reference to impervious coverage, we address that by really looking at what impervious coverage is and isn't. And some of the state's definition of impervious coverage is convoluted. And so 2-inch river stone by some folks in Trenton is considered impervious coverage. Well, and I never saw a puddle on a bed of 2-inch river stone, okay? So what we do, what we're trying to do in our municipality, is look and see how we can recharge water back into the aquifer. And one of that is using state best practices, BMP, on pervious pavement, pervious asphalt, new new ways when someone comes in for a building permit to do some sort of dry well for the roof gutter that doesn't previously exist. So this is the kinds of stuff that eventually gets back to what we're doing. It's helping the aquifer. We store half the town. Well, guess what? That water now that isn't in the septic system is running down the Methinecon River. Well, now we've lost a considerable recharge opportunity. So, we need to really look at and focus, even as a council, how we address impervious coverage. And I'm not satisfied with the DEP's treatment of it. I think that they're off mark. And so they need to correct that and say, look, the object here is to get the water, to recharge the water back into the ground. And so, I'm working with some constituents now that are being driven crazy by the DEP. They have decorative stone up, and DEP is making them take it out and put mulch in. That's crazy. And so I need to say that we need to just keep, paying attention, even the council, on what good planning is about. And that's a component of it. If we're about water, let's address that issue. I don't buy everything the DEP says as the law, as a rule. They're off base. So I'm done.
Y'all said really good.
Here, no one.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think I'd like to just switch gears for a second. And I think it's appropriate to say to this council and to the audience as well that from myself and my family, wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a healthy and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Mr. Yes, Billy.
You're good luck.
I thought that went without saying, but we'll say it anyway.
Good.
So thank you all for attending here. This is, as we said, a significant, if not a momentous meeting, the 100th, and I'm pleased that you all were here to be part of it. And we do wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
I need to adjourn.
I'm going to